Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for Tuesday, October 17th, 2023. We're rapidly getting through October, and we've got just a couple more months to go before the end of the year. Glad that you're all here tonight. We've got Dr. Mosley with us tonight, and he'll give us another teaching on the laws of life. But before we get started with him, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Mark Miner. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Heavenly Creator, the great I Am, thank you for the many blessings of freedom that have been poured out for our benefit. We are especially thankful for those who are rescuing and saving the trafficked children and young adults that are being taken out of tunnels and other hidden locations. Please continue to bless those efforts and give aid and comfort to those being saved, Father, so that they can receive your love once again. Strengthen us and make our paths well defined so that soon we will be on the path to liberty together. Please watch over our military, Father, because we need a smooth transition to military power to remove the dark forces standing in the way of us re-inhabiting our lawful republic that our very own Constitution guarantees us to have. We pray for the release of all those that did not commit a crime from prison, Heavenly Father. We also ask you protect us, lead us, and give us valor in spiritual battle. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. In Yeshua's name we pray. Thank you, Father, and amen.
Amen.
Be sure.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Before we get into our teaching tonight, let me grab the sheet for our roll this evening. I'm going to start off with myself. Representative Rockwell is present tonight. Representative Reed. Representative Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right. Representative Binder.
Hi, Representative Mark Binder is present. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. And Representative Cox.
Representative Robin Cox is present.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. It looks like we have four representatives representing four states tonight. And without any further discussion, I'll go ahead and open up the floor for Dr. Mosley and his teaching on the laws of life tonight. Sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The laws of life. And as most of you, I'm sure, recall, we define the law of life as being an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. Before we can refer to a law of life as being such, we have to begin in Genesis with foundational scripture, and then following that particular scripture and the law of life that is embedded therein throughout the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament before we can refer to it as being an absolute or being a law of life. Thus far, the Spirit of God has revealed to us some 50 laws of life that we have developed as absolute in the way that we just mentioned. In some of our last sessions, we've been talking about the kingdom of God versus the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of God versus the kingdoms of this world. We've had discussion on the economic system of the world as compared to God's economic system. We've talked somewhat about the social system of the world as compared to God's social system under the kingdom of God. We spent some time on the political system of the world. And the last system we began a discussion on was the educational of the world. So tonight we're going to touch upon each of those four systems briefly that we've already mentioned, but in more particularly, we're going to have our discussion, which is going to be somewhat brief this evening, on the educational aspect of these various kingdoms, the educational system of the world as compared to the educational system of God. We tried to establish in one of our last meetings that it is the educational system that lays a foundation for each of these other systems that we have referred to and will refer to. Also, we want to be mindful of the fact that laws of life apply to each and every one of these systems, these Kingdom of God systems, as well as the kingdoms of the world systems. Now, going back to the educational system for a moment, may I give you a definition that I came across in an article that I have in my notes that I'll share if anyone needs the exact article. But the definition that they gave is that the verb educate means to give intellectual, moral, and social instruction to a people, to train, to advise, to cultivate, to develop, to prepare, to enlighten, and to make ready. Now, I've added to that definition to impart knowledge as being part of the definition of the word educate. But let's look at a passage of scripture at this point, and we'll be coming back to it from time to time. And it's a passage of scripture that most, if not all of us, are familiar, found in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Going back again to the beginning of that verse of scripture. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I submit to you that one major area of lack of knowledge is, of course, as relates to these laws of life, the kingdom laws of God, and also the laws of the kingdom of the world and how they conflict with kingdom laws. The laws of life, I cannot overly emphasize the fact that the laws of life are embedded in every aspect, in every component of life. And if I have not challenged, I challenge you this evening to endeavor to think of anything that is not impacted in some way or another by one or more laws of life. So the question tonight is, when does education begin? Does it begin in the classroom? Or does it begin sooner? When does education begin as it takes us towards and into the kingdom of God? And when does education begin when it takes us into the kingdoms of the world? And I'm going to submit to you at this juncture that that time frame, our laying of a foundation for the kingdom of God, or for the kingdoms of this world, began when and where? They began when the child is in the womb. They began when the child is in the womb, for both systems. But we're going to emphasize in the few minutes we have tonight, we're going to emphasize the kingdom of God, and then we're going to go back in a subsequent teaching on the kingdoms of the world as it relates to education and how they conflict with the kingdom of God. So how do we start to educate a child in the womb? Well, let's look at some areas, and I'm sure as we talk, and I don't at all hold myself out to be an expert in any of these areas, but we just want to share and cause you to have some thought, some reflection on how what we're about to mention, how that impacts one's educational journey. And as we've done in the past, you do not have to wait until we finish this teaching tonight to interject what has been revealed to you or questions or comments that you might have. You're welcome to interrupt at any time and share with us your thoughts in this regard. But back to the question. When does education begin as it relates to the kingdom of God? Now, I would submit to you that while that child is in the womb, scripture can be read. And that scripture can permeate the body and the mind and the spirit of that young person who's coming into this world and have an impact on that child, even while in the room, in the womb. What about prayer while in the womb? I submit to you that there can be an impact, a significant impact, when that child in the womb hears mother praying aloud, reading scripture aloud. And I'm going to make reference to an area of expertise that our chairman has, and that is the fact that that baby is on or has a spiritual frequency wherein that frequency can make, through that frequency, the child can make contact, even while in the womb, with the mother. So those are just a few ways that we submit to you that the educational process for that child begins while the child is in the womb. I'm certainly, I know that some would take issue with that statement, but I hold firm to it. Now let's look at the child after birth. We're talking about education, kingdom education, not the education of the world, but the education of the world also begins at the same time. That baby in the womb is being influenced by what is said. The words, by your words are you justified, or by your words are you condemned. Many other scriptures that deals with our words, life and death are in the power of the tongue. The wrong information, a negative information, a worldly information is being imparted to that child while the child is in the womb. But let's go a little further now and look at kingdom education. After that child has been brought into this earth realm, kingdom education. Certainly, at a young age, we can start to teach, educate children about the word of God. Now, I'm going to take this a step further and say that as a young child, that child can be taught, or we can begin to teach a young child these laws of life, because they are kingdom laws. This is a part, a major part of their educational process. We're talking about before the classroom, and we're going to get into some discussion concerning teaching that is consistent with the kingdom of God and that which is consistent with the kingdoms of the world as relates to education. But even as a young child, one can be taught, a child can be taught the law of accountability and responsibility. There are many ways that we can instill in a child on a limited basis and along the lines of their capability that they're accountable for certain activities, that they're responsible for certain activities. Child reaches a certain age, you start talking to the child about their room and being accountable how the room is being kept. and other little chores we've given them around the house, that they are accountable and responsible on the level that they can apprehend. The law of accountability and responsibility is one way we educate, part of the educational system of the kingdom of God. Certainly, we can teach a young child the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We can teach a child 6, 7, 8 years of age, even younger, the law of sowing and reaping. There are consequences to our actions. And certainly, I'm sure those of us who are parents have had conversation with a child with respect to a certain activity that we're displeased, that we know that that child should not be involved, or we have admonished the child against, and we go into some detail as to the consequences that will flow from us as the authority figures. That's another law of life as it relates to that child. Kingdom law, the educational arena, and when these kingdom laws, or how can they be imparted in the minds and the hearts of young people? What about the law of notice and warning? Whether we realize it or not, we're oftentimes giving a child a notice about good things that could come about based upon positive seeds that are planted. But also, equally as important, warnings. How many of us, as parents, have warned a child about a hot stove, and oftentimes gone as far as to not just to warn, but to instruct the child, to give the child some practical information as to the fact that fire burns? That's teaching. That's educational. And it comes before what we refer to as the school system, whether it be a Christian school or whether it be a secular school. These are some of the teachings, some of the educational information that we bring forth at an early age that we should bring forth. So we talk about, we're going to mention now the law of authority. All authority is of God. And we start to teach children about authority early on under kingdom law, that they are under the authority of their parents, under the authority of certain other adults that have been given authority over them. So we
Dr.
teach.
Mosley, can I interrupt you for a moment?
Yes, you may, certainly. Please do.
Thank you. I have some scripture that's going to speak to exactly what you're talking about here.
Please.
Psalms 14:2 says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." And then Proverbs 22:6, I'm sure we're all familiar with, says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it."
Exactly. Very
and
good.
One more, Psalms 25, verses 4 through 5 says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day."
Very good, Representative Binder. Thanks for bringing those scriptures to our attention. And they're right on point.
Yes, sir.
So we can see that under the kingdom of God's educational system, it starts well before the age of what we refer to as school-age children. The authority that we impart in children. And that admonition, we have trained up a child in the way they should go. And, of course, a major part of the way that they should go is as it relates to the Word of God. The law of authority, we had just touched upon it. Let's go to the law of resistance and non-resistance. We share with young people what they can
Dr. Mosley?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Representative David Schmidt. I've got one for you here.
Go right ahead. Proverbs, send it through.
Okay. Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 2. That is, my son, guard my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Guard my commands and live, and my Torah as the apple of your eye.
Good. Yes. You see how the scriptures support what we're sharing here this evening? And as we go along, not just this evening, but as we go along in the study, we're going to see more and more how it is made explicit to us as it relates the educational systems and the kingdom of God and the responsibility that we have in that regard. The law of forgiveness. At some point in time, when a child considers him or herself as being ill-treated, as Christian parents, one of the values that we endeavor to instill in that child that we are required to forgive. And we try as best we can to explain that to the child and why it is so important that we do so. Now, one, the next one I'm about to mention, one certainly that we bring to the attention of children in God's educational system is the law of exaltation and abasement. We talk to children about pride coming before destruction and a heart of spirit before a fall. We don't want children to be of the impression that the world revolves around them and that they become selfish and non-caring. And there's basically a mindset that the world revolves around them. And sometimes we're guilty of causing children to come about having an attitude such as that and not balancing it in the kingdom of God as relates to rearing up children. But that law of exaltation and abasement starts at an early age. Pride sets in. Selfishness. Many children, it's all about me and mine and their toys and not wanting to share their toys with anyone else. You see it early on, and these are the occasions where we are admonished to teach kingdom laws because, as we alluded to very briefly, the kingdoms of the world, the position is going to be the exact opposite of that of the kingdom of God as relates to educating children. The law of love. We certainly endeavor to instill in our children to love their parents and their siblings and some of those, their playmates. So we emphasize the law of love as relates to the kingdom economical, not the kingdom economical, but the kingdom educational system. At some point in time, we have an opportunity to talk to children about vengeance, getting back at somebody, a child whose ball has been taken by the neighbor's child, and the child who's been offended is very upset with that neighbor's child and say, I'm going to get that person back. And then you have an opportunity to talk to them about vengeance, that the word says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. God will deal with the situation. But in the meantime, that child has to operate in love and obedience. I'm going to just mention another five or six we have here. I'm not going to go into detail with them tonight. But you mentioned vengeance. What about the law of reward? The law of the gift? The law of escape? The law of work? The law of reputation and character? The law of waste and want? The law of forfeiture? And at some point in time, we have to talk to children about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. With that, Mr. Speaker, we're going to entertain some comments from some of the others and or some questions. I yield at this moment.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mosley, for that. Well, you were talking about teaching children in the womb. I'm going to do just a little bit of a variation of that because you kind of touched on something. My youngest granddaughter, when she was not born yet, she was diagnosed with a pretty serious heart condition, and we prayed over her. Her mom and other grandma wanted us to do that, and when she came and when she was born, the severity of the condition she had in her heart was not near what they were saying, and she just runs around like any normal four-year-old now. So I can definitely attest that saying something like that even before a child is born definitely impacts them tremendously. And I'll go ahead and open up the floor for anybody else with any comments or questions.
This is Representative Mark Biner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you, and praise God for your granddaughter's healing, too. A lot of times people overlook this fact, but the textbook that was used many times to teach children and older children to be the Bible. And during the Founding Fathers' time, mostly it was the Geneva Bible because, well, King James was just a tyrant and didn't really want they didn't want the English influence in the New World as much as possible. In fact, they almost changed the language to Hebrew instead of English, but they didn't do that. But anyway, the Geneva Bible was a very important thing, and even during the 1620s, when the Mayflower Compact was written, which is a document that's unique to the world history and the first constitutional government in the Western Hemisphere, Geneva Bible played a big role in that, and you can bet that they knew that Bible pretty well. And that's all I have to say right now. Thank you so much for teaching, Dr. Mosley. I yield.
Thank you, sir.
All right, anybody else have any questions or comments?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
And, of course, nothing. Bible had an important influence on our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and Bill of Rights as well. And with that, I yield the floor.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? All right, if not, Dr. Mosley, you want to give your contact information where people can get a hold of you and get your books and other materials that you may have that will be beneficial to the laws of life?
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Our email address is Mosley, M-O-S-E-L-Y, Justice, J-U-S-T-I-C-E, 1, MosleyJustice1 at AOL.com. And unfortunately, I have not committed my ministry phone number and other information on the ministry to memory. I always have to look at my business card. But let me give you the website, www.justiceministriesintl, abbreviation for International Justice Ministries, intl.com, which is much information concerning justice ministry, the laws of life. And we do have a separate website specifically for the laws of life, and that is lawsoflifecourttv.com. And on that website, we have 13 episodes of Laws of Life Court, as well as some teaching on the laws of life. We have a listing on that particular website also, as well as Justice Ministry, of the 50 laws of life that the Spirit of God has revealed to us, and the books that are already in print that are available by and through us from our website and or from Amazon. And we'll be pleased to hear from you, and also any questions you might have concerning the laws of life and what we share, we're available to endeavor to answer those questions, as well as any speaking engagements that you might be interested in, or you may know someone who is interested in having a thing to talk about these laws of life, which we have been teaching now for over 35 years. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you for that information, Dr. Mosley. I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor for anybody that has any closing comments for tonight.
This is Representative Mark Biner from Iowa. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'd like to read the definition of educate out of the Noah-Webster 1828 dictionary. It's pretty nice. It means to bring up as a child, to instruct, to inform and enlighten the understanding, and to install into the mind principles of art, science, morals, religion, and behavior. And to educate children well is one of the most important duties of parents and guardians. And on another note, too, I'd like to direct your attention to the United States debt clock. It has a lot of interesting messages on it. They had like a cartoon form about the Knights Templar. And it's kind of calling out some of the secret societies, if you will. And so that's the U.S. debt clock. And I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anybody else have any closing comments for tonight? Well, if not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn if somebody would like to do that.
This is Representative Robin Cox.
Go ahead.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I move that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene on Tuesday night, October 31st at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. I yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt seconding the motion to adjourn. I yield.
All right. Thank you. We got a motion on the floor for us to adjourn tonight, and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And is there anybody opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned tonight and reconvene in a couple of weeks. And before we close, Dr. Mosley, you want to close us in prayer tonight?
Father, we come again in the precious name of Yeshua, and we thank you for this opportunity to come together to study your word and to discuss your word on this evening. And we just ask that you would instill in us that which we need to know, that which we need to impart to others with respect to the precious word that you have provided us with, and especially placing us in a position to better understand your kingdom and the values of your kingdom and the statutes and the laws and all that pertains to your kingdom as opposed to the kingdoms of this world. We count it a privilege that you have been so kind, so gracious to us to impart this kind of knowledge to us. And we recognize that this knowledge is not to be hoarded by and through us, but it's to be shared with other believers and to whomsoever will. So we thank you for this night, and we give you honor, glory, and praise, not just for what you have done, but what you're doing right now, but what we know you promised to do. And we submit all that we are and all that we do. We submit it all to you, and we give you honor, glory, and praise, and thanksgiving in the precious name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father.
All right. Blessings, everybody, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Happy day, everyone.